Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening to the show. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. Man, we got a great show for you. Do I have to do the live from Los Angeles? Nah. It's sunny. It's beautiful. Hope the weather is spectacular where you are. If you're a lake guy, hope you get to the lake this weekend. If you're a beach guy, hope you get to the beach. Don't forget the sunscreen. Okay. Good weekend. Good weekend. Great weekend of sports. Apparently, this is I don't know if you guys know this. This is the unofficial reopening of Vegas weekend. Garth playing at the Raiders Allegiant Stadium, right? My spies tell me Bieber tonight. And I was playing golf with a buddy yesterday. And he's like, yeah, I'm heading up and going to see Bieber. So let's listen to Bieber while we're playing golf. And I was like, who are you? Who are you? He's fired up. Obviously, you got the McGregor fight. Upcoming Saturday night. Like it's a good unofficial reopening of Vegas is this weekend. Speaking of Vegas, boy, now the odds continue to stack in the favor of the Phoenix Suns. John Hollinger is going to join us upcoming in 15 minutes. If you don't know John's story, of course, a guy who covers the NBA, follows the NBA, analytics expert, used to be in the front office with the Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, now he covers the league for The Athletic. I'll get his sense of what Milwaukee did and didn't do and how Phoenix was able to shoot 20 for 40 from three-point range. Like, you're not losing when you shoot 50% from three, especially when you take 40 of them. No, nobody's beating you there. But I do think there's something interesting here. Okay, I want you to stick with me for a second. Who are the two of the three quarterbacks that were most... that have been most discussed as being upset with their franchise and wanting to possibly be moved this offseason? Obviously, you have Deshaun Watson. What really was going to happen, we have no idea. We got to figure out, you know, what the league rules, what these civil cases mean, or any criminal, like all of that stuff. So that's the third party. Let's cast that aside for a second. Just there's so much unknown, and it actually also doesn't fit my story. That's the most important part. All right, so you got Russell Wilson and you got Aaron Rodgers, right? Remember Russell Wilson? Like, I don't want to be traded, but this is not fun. That was basically what we got. I don't want to be traded, but I'm tired of getting hit so much. Where his offensive linemen are probably just pleased as punch that he would say that. But I believe I know what's behind that on some level. And then we go to Aaron Rodgers. He also has been upset at whether it's a lack of weaponry or what are you doing drafting a backup quarterback when you could have gotten me another toy to play with, blah, 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 blah. Okay. I'm not going to rehash stories that you already know. You wouldn't be listening to this show or to Fox Sports Radio unless you knew that Aaron Rodgers potentially wanted out, unless you knew that Russell Wilson, there was that kind of weird, does he want out thing, right? You know those things. Okay. But what's behind it? And I was on with Colin and I told him this. And I was on his volume podcast, and I told him this, and I believe it to be accurate, which is this. When Russell Wilson was at the Super Bowl, he was sitting right there next to Roger Goodell. And when you're watching Tom Brady win another Super Bowl in his 40s, and his jersey be completely cleaned, and, oh yeah, by the way, Antonio Brown only worked out with two guys while he was suspended. Do you remember who the two quarterbacks he worked out with? One was Tom Brady, who vouched for him, swore by him, and that's how he got into Tampa. And the other was Russell Wilson, who I'm sure tried to talk the Seahawks into like, hey man, we can get this guy on the cheap. We need this type of talent. It could change us. So it's one thing to not be able to get your team to acquiesce and go after a wide receiver who's on the market for free, basically. It's another thing to watch the same wide receiver play with a quarterback who continues to win championships, and he can't move at all, and he's got a completely clean jersey, and they dominate the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not just about being unhappy with the Seahawks. It's about a jealousy, a reasonable competitive jealousy, of Tom Brady. Okay, then go to Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady can yuck it up at the match, you know, last week, and can be buddy-buddy and can talk to each other, whatever. But if you remember the end of the NFC Championship game where Aaron Rodgers, he's got a coach who most people think that the reason they kicked the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down was that Matt LaFleur was out of place. Right, that like, okay, so now if we score a touchdown, now we go for it on fourth and we score a touchdown, now we got to have another play, and he just wasn't ready for it. Let's kick the field goal. Let's try and get the ball back, and then we'll have a chance to refresh and go through what we want to do offensively. Okay, so you're Aaron Rodgers, and you're like, my coach just made a terrible decision to kick a field goal on fourth down, which doesn't really help us win. He might have been out of plays. Okay, the GM is not into me anymore. He's into this new guy, Jordan Love. And then they pop off their helmets at the end of the game, and Aaron Rodgers got a beard. His eyes are sullen. He looked 70 years old. Right? He looked like George Blanda. Now, Tom Brady takes off his helmet, and his hair is... They did something to the hair. They did something to the hair. And then, you know, I mean, his face is... I mean, it's stupid. He's like perfect tan. His hair's not out of place. He probably, after a 2.5 hour football game, he probably still smells good. He's one of those guys. Okay, so if we'll at least hypothesize, again, hypothesis, not theory, hypothesize that at least one of the big issues with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson is that they have incredible amount of jealousy for Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady switched teams. It wasn't seamless, but it wasn't like they didn't eventually make it work. Right? Because that's the whole thing with quarterbacks. Like, yeah, if I switch teams, how long does it take to come up to speed? Like, look, Peyton Manning's first year, he threw 50 touchdown passes. Tom Brady's first year, he won a Super Bowl. It can obviously be done if you know what you're doing, you have people who cooperate and do it your way. I'm sure they're sitting there going like, dude, I got to get the Tom Brady set up. Happens in my business, happens in your business. Right? I mean, you see somebody get a car who's doing the same game, same coverage, and they're getting, that way they got a car service? They got security? They got their own stat guy? I got to do that. Happens in our business. You know, wait, you can hire more producers behind the scenes to do a radio show? Yeah, more minds, more voices, more kind of diverse thoughts, the better. Right? I mean, you see a show that's really well prepared, you're like, I got to get some of that. It's very reasonable to have competitive jealousy. Okay, so you have unhappy stars in the NBA. And I know there's a lot of unhappiness, which shouldn't be unhappiness in the NBA, right? Guaranteed contracts, a lot of glamour, good offseason, you know, great medical thing after you're done playing, like yada, yada, yada. You're not putting your brain in harm's way the way you are in football. But there is a lot of, there's like Damian Lillard, for example. But go around the league and there are other Damian Lillards, you know. And while Giannis having success in a small market may make you think you can stay there, they can build it around you. I would tell you, if you're watching Chris Paul, and he wasn't as good last night, you know, some of those shots he hit in game one, that's not him. Like, he doesn't hit shots. He's not a great finisher at the rim. He's a mid-range jump shooter. He's not a great shooter going with the ball in his left hand, and playing the numbers, they got more misses last night than they did previously. But he's still 36 years old, and he's got a coach who gives him the ball and says, run the team. They work together. He's got all these young guys around him that when, like this whole, and no disrespect to Colin, I understand the premise of what he's saying with Chris Paul being the MVP because of all the intangibles he brings, but here's a poorly kept secret in the NBA. Chris Paul didn't play that well the entire season or even most of the season. He had some great nights, and he had some nights where he just kind of chilled and got everybody else involved because he didn't have it because he's 36 years old. Like he was good this year. He wasn't the best player in the league. He does bring value, but he's not the only one. And none of it works unless you have Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Booker's just a walking bucket, right? But the point is this. You look around the league and you're like, what am I doing chasing after these star teams when if I can just get a team full of a young group of guys, a coach who's been through it as a head coach before and as a former player, that like I want the Chris Paul setup. And what it'll bring in is it'll bring an incredible amount of unhappiness. If you're Brad Beal, an incredible amount of unhappiness. If you're Damian Lillard, by the way, they're both going to be commiserating together on USA Basketball here over the next month. Just like Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, just like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are likely very jealous of Tom Brady and want that set up late in their career, how do I get a ready-made team that's been bad forever, but they've loaded up with good players, a quarterback-friendly coach who will just give me the team, and I can end up playing in the Super Bowl with no green grass on the backside of my jersey because nobody touches me? How do I get that set up? The same is true in the NBA. How many guys are sitting around there going like, you know, if I would just, like, dude, put me with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker and give me that team and I'm good. What am I doing sitting around here where they clearly don't know how to build it around me? All right, Milwaukee seemed to try a lot of stuff in the first half to no avail. They did a poor job of defending Phoenix at the three-point line. Was that just one of those games? You know, it's one of those games. Or was it something schematically that allowed the Suns to get open looks? Plus, does John Hollinger join us next? Does he think that Chris Paul's success will lead to not only added unhappiness, but maybe other stars looking for a similar setup in years to come? We'll find out next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb and Colin, this is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. You follow me on Twitter. I threw out that, Colin's time slot is the greatest time slot ever. If he ever complains about it, you know, you're done at noon on the West Coast. And I went and played nine with a buddy. It was a little slow, so we only did nine. And then I had an adult league game where I wouldn't have played, but they only had five. I had to be five. And so I'm playing, and it's one of those just like, let's just not get hurt, right? Just stand outside, shoot threes, get occasional wide open layups. Let's not get hurt. And then what inevitably happens is, have you guys ever seen Madagascar? You ever seen? John Hollinger joins us, writes for The Athletic, of course, used to help run the Memphis Grizzlies. He's covered the NBA for years. John, have you ever seen Madagascar?
I can't say that I have, but I'm really interested in where this is going.
Okay, so Madagascar is, there's a bunch of animals from the Central Park Zoo. They get loose. They mistakenly get you. This is not a spoiler alert. It's like a 15-year-old movie. They get shipped to Madagascar. They're out in the wild. They want to go to the wild. They get out in the wild, right? And the zebra and the lion, Alex the lion, are best friends. They're best friends. But, you know, hunger starts. Nobody's feeding you steaks every night. And all of a sudden, they're running in some field. And the zebra, played by Chris Rock, who is the best friend of the lion, suddenly the zebra looks like a steak, and the lion, he's not playing, he's going lion on you, right? Okay. So I'm playing pickup basketball last night, you know, and I'm just running up and down, just staying away from stuff. Yeah, good cardio, right? But now it's kind of closer than I thought it should be, so I decided to take a guy, and another guy comes over, not to take a charge, but to kind of get in my way, so I two-foot stop jump like sideways, kind of threw two guys to lay the basketball in, and I felt a pop in my knee, and I just, incredible pain, right? I've never been hurt before. It's because I went lion. Like, all of a sudden, I decided to become a basketball player, and I'm past the age of being a basketball player, and now I'm... So, the question is, worst dad injury that you've suffered? We got a guy who just said he's... What is this? I have a broken hip, suffered on a family vacation, that's Gordon Free Jr. John Hollinger, worst or most embarrassing adult injury you've suffered?
So one of the last times I played basketball, pickup, I kind of had to stop playing because the injury rate was just getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I was basically trying to do what you described, like, okay, I'm just going to hang out on the perimeter, take jump shots, like not get in any kind of physical situation or crowd and, you know, just run up and down. And I jumped up to get a loose ball that was just a little bit above my head. You know, we're talking maybe jump 6 inches off the ground.
Throughout your back?
And then when I came down, my ankle twisted, and I turned to look to see whose foot I came down on, and there was nobody around me. Yeah. I didn't come down on anyone's foot. I twisted my ankle on the floor, jumping 6 inches off the ground. That's when I knew I was done.
That's it. Yep, that's it. Well, that's what that's what one of my daughters, she has no sympathy at all, right? I come home and she's like, well, you're just an idiot. Why are you doing that? Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself in harm's way? Okay, let's get to last night. I thought the Bucks tried kind of the kitchen sink thing in the first half in terms of different looks defensively to no avail. Was it something the Bucks were doing wrong that allowed Phoenix to get that many open looks, or was it simply Phoenix with ridiculous ball movement that allowed them to get that many open looks?
I thought Phoenix won the game more than Milwaukee lost it, if you want to look one way or another. The tremendous shooting performance by Phoenix, great ball movement. I thought defensively they were, again, pretty good. I mean, one of the underrated things about this series is that the Bucks haven't really been able to get Holiday or Middleton going, and so they haven't been able to – I mean, Phoenix's shooting has been a problem, but Milwaukee just has not been able to match it either. So, but through the first two games, I would describe it more, especially the second game, more as Phoenix winning it. Game one, I thought Milwaukee put themselves in some weird situations with some of the adjustments they tried to make from how they played in the regular season that maybe they shouldn't have made. But game two, they went back to putting Holiday on Chris Paul. They played a more traditional drop coverage. I thought Brook Lopez actually played it pretty well. I thought they could have played Lopez more minutes. He ended up playing 28, I think. But I thought it was more Phoenix winning that game than Milwaukee losing it, bottom line.
Okay. Can Milwaukee make this thing a series, right? Like, if it's the Clippers, you're like, oh, 2-0? Now the Clippers will start playing. Milwaukee, last time they were down 2-0, they got the benefit of Kyrie Irving getting hurt. That changed everything, and James Harden was still not right. Can they make this thing a series?
I think they can, because I do think some of this shot-making is going to even out over the course of a series. So, they'll go back home, they'll get an emotional lift from that, you would think. I do think they make this a series of some kind. I would be surprised if they didn't at least win game three and make this somewhat competitive.
I have a hypothesis on the Chris Paul thing. Okay. I think that Chris Paul's not just his success, but how he's revered, how he's treated, how he's been able to be given the ball with a team full of young guys who hadn't yet really won anything. I think that's kind of, there are some guys, a Damian Lillard's got to be sitting around going like, that's what I want. Right? Like there's that competitive jealousy that I think exists in the NFL where they're watching Tom Brady and he looks better than ever. And he's got a clean backside of his jersey. And guys are like, why can't I do that? I'll just go to a team that's already just, all they need is a quarterback. Do you think that other, especially point guards, are looking around going like, I want the Chris Paul setup?
Yeah. I mean, I think Lillard has to be looking at that. You know, I think initially, these guys think like, if you're KD going to Golden State, who has already won, then it feels a little more like you're a tag along maybe. And I'm not sure all these guys want that exactly, but to have that experience Chris Paul has happened where he's going to a place where they haven't won as the final piece, I think that is really appealing to a lot of these guys. Yes.
Okay, so let's look at Lillard. He said he's going to keep his comments in house, right? That he hasn't said nothing to nobody and whatever. What do you think that to me that implies that he doesn't want out, he wants it fixed. But again, that's just me guessing with the tea leaves. What do you think he means by I ain't commenting anything publicly, everything's going to be in house?
I think he still wants it to happen in Portland, but is increasingly realizing that it probably won't. And I don't know. The way I read this is like the clock is ticking, and he's not going to ask out right now, but you can see the moment on the horizon where he will. He's still got 3 years left before he can become a free agent. So the leverage wise, he's not like in a great spot. Whereas a year from now, I think his position is much stronger. That's the point where, you know, Paul George got traded. That's the point where Deron Williams got traded going way back. Like, once you get inside 2 years, I think the leverage of, oh, this guy could actually leave us for nothing, becomes much stronger, and it behooves the team to really play ball with the player and try to cash in on his stock at that point.
Sure.
So it'll really depend a lot on how this year goes, I think.
What do you think happens with the Lakers in terms of their personnel? I mean, it's interesting what they, you know, David Fizdale now on their bench, and I believe Mike Penberthy is going to be moved up to the front of the bench. So Penberthy's like Anthony Davis's guy. Everybody thinks Fizdale is really tight with LeBron. So those two are what they're building around. What do they do to change their roster?
Well, it's interesting because you can say push all your chips in to go around LeBron and Davis, but what do they have for chips? I mean, I think that's the real problem right now. I think one of the things that they held fast on not trading Talen Horton Tucker and putting him in a deal for Kyle Lowry. And I think they may look back and regret that a little bit, because now Horton Tucker's a free agent, and it gets complicated with keeping him with the luxury tax and everything. It could get pretty expensive, or you could still use him as a chip in the sign and trade potentially to get something that helps you right now. But because they gave up all their draft picks basically in the Anthony Davis trade, they don't have a lot left over to put in another deal for another player. And if you look at just the contracts they have, it's hard for them to even match money on a lot of deals. Kuzma and Caldwell Pope are really their only significant deals other than LeBron and Davis, who aren't going anywhere. And then you have Schroeder, who's a free agent, and that's going to get interesting too, because he wasn't that good for him. And you wonder if the money's going to get a little out of hand on him.
I don't think Schroeder's back. The question is, you know, as the rules have changed some on sign and trades, can they do a sign and trade? Right, because that would be,
yeah, because they have to stay under the apron now if they put him in the sign and trade. So it gets tricky with what they can take back. Exactly. So
John,
it's a really difficult situation for a front office to manage when you don't have a lot of assets. You got to basically find value where other people aren't looking. And this hasn't been a thing that the Lakers do normally.
No.
Normally they just, you know,
no,
they're up to them. So they just take the best players,
right? You know what they are? They're the guy who walks into Nordstrom and says, "What's new? I'm buying that," you know? Whereas the rest of us are like, "What's on the sale rack? Can I find something? I'll go. It's out of season. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I can be a year late on stuff next fall anyway." John Hollinger joining us. Ryan Music's producing the show. He used to be my producer. He's now Colin's producer. We had this interesting discussion earlier today. I said, and again, maybe some of this is watching Kevin Durant come off an Achilles, and I understand that there's a knee injury involved as well. But I mean. Look, I don't think it's unreasonable to think Klay Thompson can be close to himself. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the Warriors can do to take that next step. Do they allow Wiseman to improve? Because he's going to take a massive jump, right? I mean, everybody does. The good ones all do from year one to year two, and he barely played in college. Do they move Wiggins? Do they move their pick? What do you think? Do they move off Draymond because he can't score and try and get in the Ben Simmons discussion? What do you think the Warriors do to get back fighting at the top of the league?
I think they're going to put they have the 7th pick in the draft this year and the 14th pick. I think they're going to put 7 and Wiseman in play and go big game hunting. That to me is plan A. They can put Kelly Oubre into a sign and trade potentially if they need to match money that way. So they do have a lot of they have a lot more assets to put in play than, say, the Lakers. So they can do some stuff. The question is, who is going to be available this summer that is worth putting those kind of chips on the table for? And we're still kind of learning what that market is. I don't know if I love the Ben Simmons fit there. They're so based on shooting and cutting and kind of the all the different stuff they can do in the half court. I'm not totally sure how he fits in that.
I think what people think is, and I understand they're different. People think, well, Draymond shoots some, but he can't shoot. So what's really the difference? Only you get far younger, and you get a guy that does other things as well as defend like Draymond. I don't think he's as good a post defender as Draymond is. But I think everything else he does as well. The other question is, does he buy into their culture, right? Like, are you going to swap a guy out and it's a completely new culture?
That's where Draymond's pretty close to the nerve center of that team. So I do think I'd be a little skittish about making that deal, from that sense. I don't know. I mean, maybe someone inside the team would have a better understanding of that than I would, but that's my sense from the outside. But again, even if you do that kind of deal, I do think you need one more true big then, because Simmons isn't really going to be that guy. Like, let's say you play Philadelphia in the finals, for example. Like, you're going to put Ben Simmons on Joel Embiid? Like, no. Whereas you could put Draymond on Joel Embiid and survive. So I do think there's that element. I just wonder what else is going to be available for them to trade for that would be. They have the assets to put on the table. The question is, who's going to be out there that they could get back with those assets?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And then you have the Clippers, who I'm sure, they got to be sitting at home going, like, if we were just healthy, we'd win this thing. The Nets probably in the same. Because they finished so strong despite the injuries, when they were down 0-2 to Dallas, it felt like they were four quarters away from Steve Ballmer just coming in and kerosene burning the whole thing down.
Absolutely.
Do they stand pat?
I think they stand mostly pat now. I think they're pretty happy with Ty Lue, so I don't see a change happening there. I think the front office is probably, still going to continue. I mean, they've done some good work there over the last few years. As long as Kawhi re-signs, which I don't know why he wouldn't. I don't see how that would be a change. They have some decisions to make. I mean, Reggie Jackson and Nick Batum are free agents. They got to figure out how to either re-sign or replace those guys. But that basic core, Kawhi, Paul George, I think that's going to stay put. They don't really have trade assets to make big deals for other pieces because, again, like the Lakers, they used it all to put together the team they have now. So I think it's going to be a pretty stable offseason there with the Clippers. Famous last words, but that's what I'm expecting right now.
Yeah, it is. It is famous last words. Last thing here, I do wonder. Here we are. Yesterday was the 11th anniversary of the decision, and I do think that one of the things we talk about this kind of player empowerment era, and I think on a daily basis players have more power, but hasn't some of this stuff all happened before? Like Magic Johnson got his first coach fired. Larry Bird got his first coach fired. People have forced trades in the past and forced their way out. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar forced his way out of Milwaukee in order to get to Los Angeles. Are we in that different an era, or are we only broadcasting it different?
No, I do think some things have genuinely changed. I think certainly the public looks more favorably on players wanting to move themselves to different situations than 10 or 20 years ago. And I think actually the teams themselves have realized that it's in their interest to play ball with these guys when they do that, because otherwise they're just going to end up leaving for nothing. So I think things have changed. You're right, though, that it wasn't as if this never happened before. I mean, I think Moses Malone was another example, or yeah. Charles Barkley even.
Barkley, Malone, Shaq signed as a free agent, right? Like we've had this sort of movement. It's just, I guess, because it became a TV show. Maybe it was because LeBron is prime, right? Like Kobe did ask out, but it wasn't. It was different, and obviously wasn't given that, but Jordan never left, Bird never left, Magic never left, so maybe that's really the change. But the rest of the stuff, does feel like we've kind of been down this road before. Most stars at some point become disgruntled with, I mean, Karl Malone at the end of his career joined the Lakers, right, to try and chase a championship ring. That happened. Gary Payton, you know, chased rings in Miami. I think got one in Miami, right, and chased one in L.A. So we have kind of been through this before.
Yeah, I think what's different now, too, they've changed some of the rules contractually mm-hmm. so that almost all these guys now, when they change teams, it ends up being via a trade rather than free agency. We still have it happen with free agency. I mean, we did have Kawhi, but the way the extension rules work now, especially with the new rule with the supermaxes,
yeah,
I think when these guys change teams, the vast majority of them is going to be via a trade rather than just guys up and leaving in free agency.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting. The Supermax contract was designed so that guys could not leave. They'd stay one place, and it ends up like guys are signing it, and then they feel like they can still determine their own fate, just put their heels in the ground and not play. So it actually has the opposite of the intended effect. That's the crazy part about that one. John, really appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll look forward to touching base as the series rolls on.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
All right, Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Let's get to Rhyme Music with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Fantastic NBA discussion and NBA information between you and John there. Good morning, Doug. Good to be with you. Let's kick things off with the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, has had a historically great start to his NFL career so far. And given his rapid rise to the top of the league, there have been a lot of comparisons made to not just those within the league, but some sports icons outside of the NFL, LeBron James, Michael Jordan. Well, when talking to Sports Illustrated, Patrick Mahomes said, I mean, it's still early for the LeBron, Michael Jordan stuff, but for me, if you're in this league, then you're trying to win. Tom's done it for a long time, and he's won a lot of Super Bowls. I'm going to try and do whatever I can every single year to put us in position that we can win a lot of championships, hopefully. Trying to distance himself a little bit from those comparisons to the all-time greats.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart. And it's also like, the other thing is you got to let other people make those comparisons, not you. You know?
Right.
Because when you make those comparisons, it's like the LeBron thing when he said, like, I knew I was the greatest when I came back from down 3-1. Now, look, if anybody else says it, like, hey, I think LeBron's the greatest because he came back from 3-1, it lands differently than when you say it yourself, you know? So, but I think it's, look, is there anything Patrick Mahomes does that isn't seemingly the right thing? Like, the guys, which is really interesting because, people have made a big thing about the Bears taking Mitchell Trubisky. Obviously, it's a mistake as opposed to Mahomes. But one of the things that they were like, man, he's got a higher ceiling than Mitchell Trubisky, but a lower floor. Just he likes to go out and have a good time. There were times in which in college they thought he blew off meetings. He didn't have great footwork. He threw picks. You know, if you go back and look, like, he was not a perfect prospect. And maybe none of this happens if he doesn't learn from Alex Smith in year one. I don't know. All I can tell you is that, like, from hitting a golf ball 400 miles like he did yesterday in Tahoe, to the hoop video, to how he handles negative social media about, I think now his wife, I think they're married now, right? He has the newborn on the way, the baby on the way. Like, all the things, like, even taking the money later, recruiting players, how he's beloved in the locker room. Like, if there's a guy who you go like, hey, if you're going to be a young star, this is how you handle yourself in the league, Mahomes seems like that guy.
You're completely right. Totally agree on all of that. And we'll wrap up with another NFL story here. The Patriots, in their first season without Tom Brady, some would call it a success, some would call it a disappointment. I would lean towards successful, considering they didn't have a real quarterback and they were dealing with the most opt-outs in the league. Well, one situation that they're keeping an eye on after all of their free agent signings this offseason is the situation regarding their all-pro cornerback Stephon Gilmore. He dealt with injuries last year, and he's been dealing with a contract situation. He talked to Josina Anderson. He said, I just want to be paid what I'm worth, however that plays out. Every player should be paid what they're worth. And he also told Josina that he is not pushing for a trade right now. just that hopefully we can find some common ground, get this situated. I just know what I'm able to bring to the table, my style of play. Right now, I'm trying to focus on me and make sure I'm good mentally and physically. He is due $7 million this next season.
Well, he also, they gave him more money last year. Like, people forget that when they had some money freed up, they gave him a little extra. They reworked his contract because they knew this was coming. Obviously, it did not buy them goodwill. Last year, he made, and that's, it's one of the things that that's crummy about these contracts. Like, well, he's only making $8.5 million for this upcoming season, or $8.5 million for this upcoming season. Like, yeah, well, last year, you know, last year he made, I think it was 23. No, excuse me. This year it's 16 million, but last year was 23.9. Right. So if you're doing in this year alone, he's not the highest paid guy, even though he might be the best guy, but you're not factoring in that they gave him a bunch of money up front last year. My guess is that they'll redo his deal and give him again more money like they did last year and see what they got. Because that's what this year is going to be about. They're going to have to see what they got with all these new pieces and then try and figure out the quarterback situation. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I'm not giving up on the Bucks just yet. But there is something unique about this team if they want to have that path to a championship. Find out next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm thinking about my buddy going to the club today and flying a little Southwest to Vegas on a fight weekend. Pros aren't flying the planes, kids. Pros are riding those planes. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. I am, I'm not giving up on the Bucks just yet. You know, like, I think it's really easy to go like, ah, that's a wrap. This series is over. And I do think mentally, you know, a lot of us in the mainstream sports fan world, right? Like, let's be honest. If you're a hardcore, I'm going to watch every night. Those people are watching no matter what, maybe up until it gets 3-0. But we do have to, at least on some level, realize that Phoenix was 20 of 40 from 3-point range last night. Like, you're not losing. It would be nothing short of miraculous if you lost shooting 50% on 40 threes. And how would you even explain that to your fans? You wouldn't. So with that, and Milwaukee's a 4-point favorite, and Giannis, obviously, with his performance last night, everybody realizes that he's healthy. But I just, you know, it's the old kind of playing the numbers sort of thing. Now, have they been helped out previously by injuries? Yes. Yes. Right. They got smashed by, people forget, they got smashed by the Nets by, I think it was like 40, right? Like 40 points. But then, you know, then they survive a game three. That would have been the series, regardless of injury. The likelihood of beating the Nets with Kevin Durant three consecutive times is very, very remote. So Giannis appears to be healthy. The Phoenix Suns shot 50% from three. I mean, it's just you're not losing like that. Not losing like that. And they haven't gotten much out of Drew Holiday. Like, you try to make Drew Holiday beat you, and Drew Holiday couldn't beat you. Now, look, maybe Drew, who I've seen since high school, and he's at Campbell Hall, and everybody likes him as a man and as a player. Like, he's finally got an opportunity on a championship-caliber team, but he hasn't seized this opportunity. He hasn't played well. He didn't play well. He made some shots at the end of Game 7 against the Nets, but he didn't play well that game. He hadn't played well at times in the series. But I would not, you know, I would not close the book on the Milwaukee Bucks. I just wouldn't. Like, if you think the atmosphere in Phoenix was something special and gave them 4 to 6 points, wait till you see what happens in Milwaukee. That place would be bonkers. And one, if you can get it to 2-1, now you can get it to 2-2, and then it's a completely different series. The difference, though, with the Bucks as opposed to some of these other teams is, let's be honest, they have a more slight margin for error. That's it. They have a much more slight margin for error than other teams. Than even the Suns. Things have to go right for them more. Like, if Chris Paul just plays his game, and Devin Booker, because Devin Booker's a 25-9 guy. Chris Paul's a 16-9 sort of guy. You know, DeAndre Ayton is a 20-10 sort of guy. Bridges obviously played above his level. But right now you're playing a team that, you know, confidence sweeps through a team much like a lack of confidence can sweep through a team. And when your best player is, one, unselfish in Chris Paul, and two, is playing at a level above his normal level, then the rest of the team follows suit. When Giannis, we didn't know if he'd play or what he'd look like, that's what their team looked like. They were a little bit lost into, all right, are we back to Team Giannis? Or are we playing the way we played when he was out? But Milwaukee, it feels like more things have to go right for them to win than have to go right for the Suns to win. It just does. It feels that way in terms of just a slight notch better in terms of perfect fit and championship caliber scoring as well as defense. All right, got a bunch coming up here in the Herd on Fox Sports Radio, including, you know, look, there are some teams in each sport who have been really good, and whether it's injuries or whether somebody ages out, they take a little bit of a dip. And interestingly enough, okay, there's a team in the NFL and a team in the NBA that I think you have the same exact question about. Can they get it back? Can they get back to that championship level? Because they were just at that championship level, you know, 2 years ago. And getting it back in many ways is harder than getting there in the first place. Like, it's hard to climb the road to respectability and get, but once you get there, now everybody, one, you know, puts their team together to take yours down. And then two, you become everybody's biggest game. And then three, you've overpaid your pieces. So now I got two teams, one the NFL, one the NBA. Can they get back to that magical championship level? I'm Doug Gottlieb. That's next in the Herd.